Hi, everyone. Welcome to TimingResearch.com's Analyze Your Trade, episode number 77 for May 14th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each that they wanted us to talk about today. And I've put the list together of the top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today I've arranged for Andrew Keene and Jim Kenny to join us. They're not here yet, but hopefully will be joining us in a few minutes. And I have Matt Buckley back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Matt. Hey, Matt, I can't hear you. I think you're muted.
Sorry about that, David. Yeah, hit the old push to talk switch. Okay. Every minute those guys are late, they owe us all a shot or 50 bucks.
Sounds good.
50 bucks a minute, but I could take it from here, man. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matthew Buckley. You guys can call me Wiz for the rest of our time together. Flew the FA-18 Hornet for the United States Navy for about 15 years. Flew 44 combat sorties over southern Iraq, which, by the way, I've sailed four times through the Strait of Hormuz, which is a potential conflict that we're going to talk about because somebody brought up ExxonMobil, and a lot going on in the market here. So it looks like Andrew just popped up.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, my friend? We just got airborne, so you didn't miss anything. And hopefully Jim Kenny will be joining us soon. But as I said, folks, used to fly jets for the Navy, was a retail trader, kind of taught myself how to trade options, applied everything I was learning flying a fighter jet to Wall Street. Popped up on one of the largest volatility arbitrage firms in the United States. Headquartered up there at in the Chicago Board of Trade, was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network, ONN.TV, but no offense to anybody from Chicago. You can keep it 9 months out of the year. Good weather, good steak, good people, but I'm a beach guy down here in Fort Lauderdale where we have offices in Boca Raton for Top Gun Options and here in Fort Lauderdale. So that's me, and that's my background. Andrew Keene is a 500-pound head in the options industry as well. Andrew, why don't you give him a quick bio about yourself?
Dude, I'm a buck 87, and I'm like 10% body fat. I don't
want to be talking about that. 500-pound head, as in your brain, not your body.
So my name is Andrew Keene. I'm the founder of AlphaShark.com. We do trading education. I run a live trading room. We have alert service indicators. I traded as a market maker on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange for a decade between 2003 to 2013, roughly. And now I just trade off the floor. I trade predominantly derivatives, equity options. I'm actually starting to look at some backtesting strategies and some day trading symbols, which I've never done for a long time before, but mostly trade derivatives.
Sweet. All right, Andrew, it'll be you and me until Jim shows up. First one we're going to take a look at is Tesla. I mean, holy headline risk, Batman. But Andrew, tell me what your short. And actually, let's do both. Andrew, what's your short-term Ponzi scheme? That's my subtle plug. Outlook on Tesla. And then also long term as well. What do you think?
I actually took a day trade today and it made money. So I took it to the long side. But I mean, I think it's headed way lower. I'm just looking at the chart. Unfortunately, I can't bring up my charts here because I'm on a different computer. But I think it's headed lower. I think what's going to happen is they're going to do a capital raise at some point. They'll do a capital raise. Stock will sell off to probably around the 180 level. Then they'll find buyers and that'll be the short term low. But I expect the capital raise to come pretty soon. And especially with the tariff news in China, this is one that's gotten hit pretty hard. So short term, I think we can get down to 180. Long term, I think it will go higher from that 180.
Okay, sorry about that. Talking to myself again. So folks, you know, Andrew just used a key word there, capital raise. I mean, this guy is burning through money like a drunken sailor, and I have a lot of experience in both of those verticals right there, drunken and sailor. Short term, and I'll bring up my chart since Andrew was chartless. I mean, folks, this is, you know, a year. Let's just take a look at a year performance here. It's dead money. It's down 18% in a year. Obviously, very, very volatile swings, as volatile as the guy himself. Whenever I hear the term capital raise and the company's been around for a while, you got to be a little bit worried. I mean, you see the pictures on media, you know, they're building stuff out in the parking lot and stuff like this. On the news a couple weeks ago, if you saw the financial media, you know, Elon like got gotten into a physical confrontation with one of his heavies, one of his executives who was quitting. But here's a headline that just came out today, a couple hours ago. I have no money. Elon Musk, billionaire moon rocket passenger, sells art and lends stock. So Andrew, what was the sister company? Not Solyndra.
Solar City.
Some other Ponzi scheme. Solar City. He kind of sucked on that thing's neck to fund, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul here. I've been bearish on Tesla, you know, way before the dude smoked weed on what's his name's show.
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. I think it's a Ponzi scheme, guys. They're literally using that new money to fill orders from the old. I can't say enough bad about this. That's my short-term outlook, is pounded into the dirt. The long-term outlook, folks, it's like a Facebook to me. It survives if they put an adult in charge. Mark Zuckerberg and this guy, you have to give the entrepreneurs a big salute. They're great entrepreneurs and made a move into a space where nobody was at that moment. However, entrepreneurs don't necessarily make good skippers. They don't make good CEOs. As a matter of fact, most of the time they suck. Everybody remembers Jerry Yang over at Yahoo. He could have been a kabillionaire, screwed that up, and then kind of rode back in to retake over the reins as CEO. And then Yahoo's kind of a punchline joke in the limousine liberal Bay Area there. So if you're long-term bullish on this, it's because he moves over to be chief booger eater or something like that. But if he stays as the skipper, he's going to have problems. You really don't tug on the SEC's cape for too long without getting smacked in the face. I think the only reason he didn't get smacked harder by the SEC is launching satellites for the NSA and our Defense Department. And maybe when you do that, you can get away with a little bit of stuff. But very, very long answer to a short ticker. I'm bearish on it. All right, Andrew, let's go to the Death Star, man, Amazon. Talk to us about your short and long on Amazon.
Amazon up 17 today. I mean, I don't think it's going to get through all-time highs. I think a lot has to do with tariff news, and Amazon should be affected by it. It was down 70 yesterday, and today it did rebound. It actually made a kind of a bullish engulfing candle. It's a higher high and a lower high. So I think you could play it to the long side with a stop under 1810. I have no position on. I mean, eventually I think Amazon goes higher, but I think in the short term it's going to fall.
Okay. Yeah. We have a new service at TGO called Trading the Death Star, where it's solo Amazon. We've talked about the benefits and, you know, potential drawbacks of just staying in one name. As Andrew kind of alluded to, I think Amazon's its own, it literally is its own stock market, like an Apple. These guys have their own volatility indices because they're that big. Like Andrew said, big, you know, monster pullback, 70 points yesterday, held right at this 50-day moving average and a little bit of a bounce here. The discussion, and it faded into the close, though, as the overall market did. I think the discussion is, does Amazon really get super impacted by the tariffs? I mean, we got Alibaba. What's the other one? JA or something like that. Yeah. Amazon actually, you know, took its toys and went home a couple weeks ago when it said we're done in China. And what are they going to target? India. So instead of dealing with a quadrillion Chinamen, and where it's essentially a little bit crowded, it said we're heading over to India. This made my day. I am long. I'm long synthetic stock, long call diagonals. We got bull put spreads. We have a lot working on Amazon right now. What was it? It seems like a year ago this happened, but this was a week-ish ago after earnings. Warren Buffett came out and said, I'm an idiot for not buying Amazon shares sooner. When you see a guy like that come out and throw that type of line, I mean, the stock was up 3.5% in the blink of an eye after he said that. That's pretty damn cool. As I've talked about to my members, I call it the Death Star. Look at what they're doing right now. Yesterday, they announced this carton wrap, you know, robot. This thing can do 600 orders per hour, where the best human they have, you know, Steve in Bangladesh, can do 200 in an hour. So you want to talk about improving their efficiency, but look at what they're offering their workers. Amazon is offering employees 10 grand and 3 months of pay if they quit right now. But here's the catch. You know what they have to do? They have to start their own delivery business, which is going to attack whom? Will Amazon put UPS out of business? This is a game changer, folks. They've Uberized their former employees to start delivering packages for them. Could not be more long-term bullish on this. We saw the day after earnings, two weeks in a row, you hear the term game changing out of Amazon analysts with the one day Prime Delivery. And don't forget this sneaking up in the background. It's down the Microsoft and Amazon for the Jedi. Hey, that's me. That's why I called the Death Star. Man, I just caught that. The Jedi Cloud contract with the DoD. Very, very long-term bullish on Amazon. We've been bullish on Amazon since it was like $600. I think it's a $3,000 stock easily in a year. The guy's never going to split it or any of that stuff. So, I mean, hell, it might one day be a Berkshire Hathaway. So very, very long-term bullish on Amazon and short-term to play this this bounce right here. Andrew, IRBT, I have no idea what that is. So I'm going to punt.
iRobot, bro.
Oh, duh.
Aren't well, you I don't trade it. Guy?
No, do you have one of those contracts. Little, is that this Roomba thing that sweeps people's houses or what is this? I don't even
know. Yeah, they also have government contracts.
Ah, all right. Talk to me about iRobot. I don't trade it.
Yeah, I see it going from 72 to 132 has recently sold off really hard. The RSI relative strength index is about a 25. Last time it hit 25, it bounced for a couple days and then sold off hard. I think it can hold this level. If I had to choose as a risk versus reward setup, I would be long it with a stop under like 85. You can look to short any pullback. It looked like it probably had earnings a gap lower from 128 to 109.
Yeah, right there.
So if it does pop back up to around the 108 level, it's probably a short. But right here, I think risk versus reward, long it with a stop under 85.
Okay, good call. Yeah, it sounds familiar. I just don't trade it. It's not one of those names I planned. Obviously, it looks pretty good. Yeah, the 50-day moving average is up there right around 116. So the 108-ish is right in the middle of that Keltner channel. That big gap down on earnings. And you got to be careful here because it never did what? It kind of made this head fake to maybe fill that gap and never even got close and faded there. So be a little bit careful with what you want to do with iRobot. All right, man, the casinos. Let's talk about one of the sin stocks, so to speak. Wynn. What are you thinking about the sin stock Wynn?
Yeah, so Wynn just reported earnings and it had weak earnings. The stock sold off really hard. You know, I don't, this is going to be another China story. I think, they're one of the companies with has the highest link to their revenues. I think Las Vegas Sands has the highest revenue of any US company to China. So we can see it topped out at the 151 level, just completely lower lows, lower highs. It did consolidate back here in March around the 117 level. So if I was to look to play it to the long side, I would be buying it here with a stop under maybe 110. You know, reward to risk. I think a lot of these names represent okay setups to the long side. But having tight stops, S&P is the same way. If we take out yesterday's low, then we could go down a lot more. I mean, the S&P is still up 300 points this year. I think we're up like 12%. So risk versus reward, I think it's okay to the long side with a stop under 110.
I like it. Good review there. And remember the history of Wynn, man. This we did a day trade on this. I remember sitting in a live trade brief when, you know, breaking news, you know, Steve Wynn is essentially Harvey Weinstein and the stock, you know, essentially was up north-ish. Yeah, $200. Man, I remember trading this thing at 200. Imploded, traded sideways for a while, and then really absolutely imploded. But I like Andrew's take there, putting a stop down here around 110, which is the bottom of the Keltner channel. So earnings weren't super crappy. I think what you have to look at, folks, is the same thing with Apple. Okay, Wiz, we're talking about Wynn. Why are you talking about Apple? Well, guess what, folks? One of the biggest threats to Apple right now is what? China. I've been to Macau. I gave a keynote a couple years ago in China, and I laughed to my buddies. I'm like, now I know why a lot of Asians are taking pictures in Vegas of just what we think is nothing. If you go to Macau, it's Vegas down to the cigarette butt on the street. So I think that some of the casino stocks that have a lot of Macau exposure, China could wake up one day and say, oh yeah, Apple and all you US-based or US backed casinos, you're done. Pack your suitcase and get out of here in 24 hours. Sounds, bizarre. Could it happen? Absolutely, man. I mean, the Chinese foreign minister floated yesterday about what? Maybe we start dumping some treasuries. Who knows? Hey, Moose, Rocco, go dump some of the US debt. So I'd be leery on Wynn. That's not the most bearish chart catching a falling knife, but I'd be more weary. I'd pick up the bull flag and run with it. If by the end of this month, June 1st, the Chinese said, we're going to smack you back in the face. Last night, the president said, next 3 to 4 weeks, I think, we'll figure out where we're going. So I'd sit on my hands as far as a sin stock, especially Wynn, until the trade kerfluffle ceases a little bit. But that's me. All right. speaking of Death Star, I'm not a big Baidu guy, but what do you trade with Baidu, Andrew?
Yeah, let me look at the chart. It has just gotten beaten down. It's been very similar to Alibaba, but
yeah.
I mean, it hit 150. Is that yesterday or today? Let me look real quick. It's just gotten beaten down. We actually saw a lot of call activity on a weekly basis. Maybe someone thinks a Chinese deal is going to happen and just continues to not happen. I mean, it is. I wish yesterday was actually a bull candle because it did make a recent probably 52-week low. RSI hitting 27.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was to get long it, I would put a stop under like 147. I think it's okay. Once again, reward a risk, risking 5 to maybe make 15, but mm-hmm. I'd rather be looking to short a rally.
I'd agree with that. It just seems another example of not a super bullish chart here. Just held this 50-day moving average for a couple weeks. Then it was a little bit of resistance, and now it's just kind of falling out of bed. I think this is a little bit more trade war impact of bullish. Made that word up.
I like that.
Feel free to use it. Then an Amazon, but I probably a hold for me long term is Baidu going out of business. Nope. And if you're looking at getting it at a discount, maybe down here, you know, maybe not a bad idea. But again, I priced it on my hands as far as a potential trade war. All right, man, big one. I haven't talked energy in a while with you. What are you thinking about? The energy space in general, or oil, and specifically ExxonMobil.
Exxon. Okay. I haven't actually looked at the chart of oil in a while. I'm short some put spreads and some oil names, but I think it's okay here. Oil on the daily chart, I think is okay. We can see it's above the Ichimoku cloud. I think as long as it holds 60, I think it goes back higher. It was in such a clear bull channel from the December lows. Recent pullback, I think oil is okay. I think actually oil is safer to the long side than the S&P is. But I think oil is okay. And then if I look specifically at Exxon unfortunately does not look as good as the oil. So if I had to choose one between the two, I would choose oil above Exxon to play to the long side. If it holds 75, if you go higher, I would rather not play Exxon. I'd rather just get long oil.
Yeah, I think get long oil right now might not be a bad idea. I mean, any day, folks, when the president's on the way out to a helicopter saying, having to debunk a New York Times article that asking about the 120,000 troops he's talking about to invade Iran, you can't beat around the bush here. Over the past couple weeks, things have really ratcheted up. Obviously, the president ripped up the nuclear agreement, which wasn't worth the paper it was written on, but I digress. The Iran said, "Hey, we're gonna close the Strait of Hormuz. We own it." And the commander of the Fifth Fleet says the Strait of Hormuz closing that, where what a third of the oil, from around the world goes through, would be considered an act of war. And yesterday, obviously, we got this China trade war and cream of some young guy in North Korea launching bottle rockets. But this two Saudi tankers were attacked. Now, of course, if you wear a tinfoil hat and have black helicopters flying around your house, you're saying we did that. Or, you know, a national security advisor, John Bolton, did that to start a war with Iran, which is exactly what Iran says. They called today. They said Trump, it will get a war for listening to the mustache John Bolton. If something goes bump in the night, or it doesn't even go bump, Iran commander, this is Monday, calls U.S. military in Gulf a target, not a threat. So this is getting serious. We've had engagements with Iran before in the mid-80s, one of the largest naval battles since World War II we had against Iran. And unfortunate piece of naval history was when we shot down an Iranian airliner out of the sky over the Arabian Gulf, and about 300 people got killed. So we have a history with Iran, folks. Oil will go through the roof if you see something like this happen. You see a breaking news headline with something in the Gulf, you can look at the oil futures or look at oil right away. So I'm agreeing with Andrew on this. I'd probably go long oil, not necessarily picking an individual pony to ride, because there are you go with an individual name, there's single stock risk. I mean, God, I know ExxonMobil ain't going out of business, but ask him, you know, how Captain Hazelton is doing when he beached his tanker in Alaska. So long oil, but probably sit on my hands as far as whatchamacallit, as far as ExxonMobil. All right, man, I kind of did Rotten Apple a little bit. What's your take on the Supreme Court ruling and what's going on with China, and just what you think in general with Apple there, Andrew?
I think Apple's headed lower. I mean, I can't believe we rallied on earnings. I am like a big iPhone guy, and I still have a 6 Plus, and like they trick me every year for $1,000 or $1,200, and I can't do it anymore. Like, they just, I mean, I used to buy everything. Like, oh, the new iPad's coming out. Cool, let me upgrade. And like, but there's actually like nothing really that valuable. They have problems in China with the tariffs. So fundamentally, I think it's flawed. Warren Buffett's the biggest shareholder, which is just scary because he's made some mistakes lately with Kraft and with IBM. So, I mean, I don't have a position on it right now, but I think it heads lower.
Good call. I already beat Apple to death. If you didn't know, again, because we got trade war on the brain here, Monday, Justice Kavanaugh actually sided with the liberal, the four other liberal justices on the Supreme Court, and kicked Apple right in the jimmy as far as apps, which is massive multi-billion dollar revenue stream. Apple ain't going out of business tomorrow. I get it. But there's a lot of trade war risk with Apple right now. And the ruling there, I know they put to bed the Qualcomm lawsuit, what was it, a couple weeks ago. But yeah. I'm with you, Andrew. I don't like this thing at all here. I have a position about a year and a half ago. Long Facebook, long Apple. You couldn't outfang me. One of the reasons you probably upgrade, Andrew, is because what? Apple deliberately, until somebody turned the lights on in the kitchen and told on them, they slow your stuff down, man. So for years, everybody's like, oh my God, my phone must be old. It's slowing down. Let me upgrade. Well, the Gordon Gekko in me thinks that's awesome. As a shareholder, I think that's phenomenal. Slowing down people's phones so they have to upgrade. As a human and American, I think that's awful and it sucks. But if you're long the stock, you know, you got to love when companies do that, but it just ain't good. I'm with Andrew. I'm a rotten apple at this point. All right, let's go to the happiest place in the world. And Andrew, that isn't Tijuana. Let's talk about Disney. What do you think about Disney?
I've never seen analysts get so engaged and so bullish on Disney. I mean, it's flatlined for so many years and now everybody loves Disney and the Disney Channel that's coming out. But if you look at it, it's almost down 8% from the highs. The reported earnings, it's been down since. I think it could test back to the gap of 118. So gap higher on that announcement that they're coming out with the Disney Channel, which is a paid channel, compete against Netflix. So I would rather be buying a pullback at the 118 level than buy it here. If I was to buy it here, you got to put your stop under that 126, which is where it gapped higher on April 12th. But I do think it heads way, way higher.
I think you're right, man. Essentially, for a year, this was Fredo Corleone to me. It was dead. It was dead money. I mean, just look at that. It just there was nothing in it. Andrew's right. This who was it? Iger? Whoever it was. Somebody said, you know, with Disney getting into streaming now, you know, it was the Netflix guy. You know, don't you have more competition? He's like, man, the only competition we got is sleep. Is your sleep? And now they're starting to eat into that. So I don't think the streaming is that crowded that Disney can't make a splash. Or not even take this thing over. But like Andrew said, I mean, that is a massive gap up on earnings. It seems to be holding the gap for now. There's about half the gap, which would be bullish. The same.
No, that wasn't even earnings. That was when they announced the channel.
You're right. That was the streaming announcement. Duh. Yeah. That wasn't even earnings. Yeah, so duh. That there's earnings right there. So it's held the post-earnings euphoria, which is actually quite bullish. And living down here in Florida, wife and kids were just up in Disney last weekend, as a matter of fact. I mean, God, they can raise ticket prices and nobody blinks. I mean, it's sad that it's as expensive as it is, but man, the parks, the entertainment divisions, it's just great. I don't even necessarily think it's a risk, but Bob Iger, you know, every time the guy does, you know, a phone call or an interview on CNBC, he's beating the drum a little bit like he might be president, but I don't think the CEO departure running for president type of thing would impact the stock. So I long-term bullish, but like I said, the past year, it's literally been dead money. And flat. I just don't like my money sitting there and not making money for me. So I'd more or less.
That might be not a bad cover call strategy.
Yeah, if you own the shares and you're sitting there, want to bring in a little extra premium, but you know, obviously that implies holding those shares. What's the dividend? It's got a dividend, doesn't it, Andrew?
I don't think it's very high. It's not 3%, so I don't think it's very high.
Okay, all right, man. Don't trade this one either. Zilnix. What do you have on that? You trade that?
What's the ticker? ZLNX.
XLNX.
Oh, Xilinx.
Xilinx. Right.
Yeah, it's a chip maker. So these chip makers were the semiconductor was everybody was loving them. Marvell, Micron, AMD could do no wrong for a long time. You can see it's a clear bull channel up to the 140 level. It bottomed out at 70. So 70 to 141 is about 210, which is about 85. So I think it can pull back to 105. So it's basically making a 50% correction from high to low from that 70 to the 140 level. I think there's too much downside in the semiconductor space. I think people are riding the high horse too much. gap lower on earnings, hasn't been able to hold it. I'd rather be buying it above 126 than buy it here. I think it heads lower.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I don't trade it. Just, you know, looking at the technicals here, gap down, and then it hasn't even given even close to half the gap back. It sat on a ledge here and then head lower. Definitely not a bullish tape. Average volume is way below its average volume. Still solid three and a half million, but now I'd be short term neutral to bearish on it. Maybe long term bullish, but like I said, I don't trade the name. All right, kind of a big blue type of name here, Procter and Gamble. What do you think about P&G?
So that probably is a really nice dividend. So let me bring it up here. It looks great. I mean, it is just, there's certain stocks and there's always rotation. And like, I have a position on HIG, Hartford Group. And like that one's exact same where like, it can almost do no wrong. I mean, this maybe is another cover call strategy because it is basically flatlined since March. So between March and now, it's moved between, beginning of March to now, it's moved between 98 and 108. So that's $10 range over the course of 2.5 months. The market sold off 80 points in S&P. It was up on the day from open to close. I think it breaks above 107. So I could play one of two ways. Buy the breakout above 107. Buy it at 108. Stop at 106. I wouldn't want to be long it here or look for a pullback down to 102 and then buy it there.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is if you look at the past, you know, 2 days, a couple trading days where the world's going to hell in a handbasket because of this trade war. This has been a rotation of safety. I call CNBC Comedy Central, but Comedy Central has been all over like a P&G for the past couple days. Jim Cramer. And if you take advice from a guy that uses a cowbell and an air horn, you deserve everything bad that happens to you. But he did say this is a good rotation into a safe name. P&G, toilet paper, talcum powder, you name it, toothpaste. People need this stuff, trade war or not. So the reason this is up in the past couple days is it is seen as, quote, a flight to safety and kind of a little trade war resistant. So it's had a good run over the past 2 days, but now you see today as we kind of gave up the ghost a little bit. Andrew nailed it. Covered call type of strategy. Buy the shares, sell some upside calls and bring in a little premium. It does have a nice dividend like Andrew alluded to. So, nice slow and steady wins the race type of tactic. But if you're looking to really hit the cover off the ball, I don't think Procter & Gamble is that. All right, man. A couple more. Momo Inc.
Momo. This is weird. I don't know what this company does. I know they're China related.
It's, an ADR. It's technology, software, programming. The breaking news that is on top of my news feed. Investigation, including possible securities fraud. Oof. Rare dip buying opportunity for this tech giant. Yeah,
I would, if I had to choose, I would buy it here with the stop under yesterday's low. So very similar, like I talked about the S&P yesterday. You could buy S&P today with a stop under yesterday's low. Certain stocks are setting up with a great reward to risk setup. So if I wanted to buy the close today, 28.80, stop under, I'd probably put a 25.80 stop. So that's $3. I could see it getting up to 36 if there's anything going on with China or this, government thing comes out of that to be true. So I'd rather be long and short. I think the reward of risk, you can get 3-1 on it and it doesn't look too shabby, but definitely tight stop on that.
Yeah, type stop is never a bad idea, folks. Always before you squeeze the trigger on any trade, you got to know when you're getting out of it before you even get into it. Hey, here's where I'm getting out for max profit, or here's where I'm going to eject for max loss. So definitely keep that one tight, especially if you don't know the name. That's why we I usually stay in my handful of lanes here and trade names that you know, like the back of your hand. I mean, when you think about it, Andrew's a market maker. Buddies of mine who were market makers don't even know a stock market exists. They're in that one name. If it's going down, they're bearish on it. If it's going up, they're bullish. If it's trading sideways, they trade neutral tactics. So be careful trade names that you ain't super familiar with, or you're just picking up on the boob tube. Cisco, man. Cisco and Microsoft, kind of close but kind of not. What are you thinking of Cisco?
Cisco, wow, what a great looking chart for a long time, and then just completely fell out of bed. I mean, this is very similar to Xilinx, very similar to Micron, AMD. They're in a little bit of a different space, but semiconductors are kind kind of very similar. So here, I don't know. I mean, if I wanted to get long, I'd put a stop under 50. It was such a clear bull channel for so long. Now it's fallen out of bed. It's actually making lower lows, lower highs. I wouldn't short it here. If I had to choose, I would buy it, but I'd buy it with a, and then a stop at like 49. So risking three, maybe you can get back to the highs. I'd rather be long than short, but I don't think it's a good setup.
Yeah, like we talked about with a couple of these names lately, and this is X kind of trade war talk. A lot of these, you know, like Andrew said, great climb schedule, man. You know, there's the Fed bottom, so to speak, when Prowl's like, what? I said, what in October? I was high. Massive rip your face off rally. Never even gave a head fake back down in this moving average. And then, you know, this kind of took the escalator up and it's taken the window down or the elevator down here. Obviously, chip stocks. Feeling a little bit of the heat from the China trade war because there is this whole forced technology transfer and a bunch of other potential little Vietnams for these chip names. But I'm going to go back to the Death Star. Amazon's getting into everything. I mean, hell, the last Google earnings, they were even complaining that somebody's eating into our online ad dominance. It's in everything, folks. Amazon will be in crypto. Amazon's in the. It's got AWS. AWS. We use AWS for our site.
I use it too.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even thought of as a profit center. I remember when it came out, it was kind of like, hey, let's see if this works. And it's a massive behemoth. So not necessarily a huge Cisco guy. I'd be an Amazon guy. So Andrew, let's shift the sales over to Microsoft then. Kind of was an old dead stock, but now it's back, it appears.
Yeah, I think Microsoft that stock cannot do any wrong. So I think a pullback is a buy here. You probably like Amazon as much as I like Microsoft. You can't explain it. There's no rhyme or reason, but I mean, Microsoft is just a great, great chart. It's a great stock. It's a great company since that $94 low. I think it's a buy here, stop under 120. I like this one a lot to the long side. I think it makes another one higher.
I alluded to the Amazon Jedi deal apparently, but look who they're competing against. And I think it's, what is it, June? All right, sometime later this summer. I'm hearing from my buddies who work in a big building up in Washington with five sides on it that it might be June. But here's the two final folks in the running here. If they pick the winner based on who the commander-in-chief likes, it'll be Microsoft. If they don't, it'll be Amazon. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump can't stand Jeff Bezos, mainly because of the Washington Post, but obviously the guy also owns Amazon. So if I was to flip a coin, I'd say Amazon, I'm a 51 Delta, that Microsoft gets that Jedi cloud contract. But hey, Wiz, that's just for the DOD. Does anybody in this room think that if Microsoft gets the DOD, for all DOD, that the rest of the government... That folks use the Department of Defense as a science experiment, right? Hey, throw it in the military. They got to at least salute. And, you know, if it fails, we'll blame them. And if it wins, we'll do it for the rest of the government. So, Mike, I think the biggest thing on the horizon is this potential jet idea. And it just makes sense. I mean, you airdrop into the middle of the freaking Sahara and bump into a guy with a tablet or a laptop, it's got Microsoft on it. You know, Apple is definitely a little bit niche and boogeritish, but I do love Microsoft. I'm just an Amazon guy like Andrew said, but hey, man, those are two arrows aligned going in the same direction, in my opinion. So very bullish on Microsoft long-term if you are so inclined. All right, man, we got two more. It's like a lightning round in here. Paolo Alto.
I've never come here. It's just me and you. So romantic.
Hopefully he's okay, but no, it's just you and me, man.
Paolo Alto Niagara.
Paolo Alto.
No bueno. So up a couple bucks today. I mean, you got to think that the futures are up 33, and I definitely think this one goes lower. Looks like it topped the 260. It has a lot of room to the downside. And I was just looking back on the daily chart for like consolidation, and there really wasn't any consolidation. So it's just gone straight higher, bounced a little bit from yesterday's low. I think it goes lower. I think it tests down to 200 and then down to 180. No position.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everything Andrew said, and then some. Definitely looking at maybe catching a falling knife here. Whenever you see... there's a fine line between bravery and stupidity. So, if you are waiting, hey, man, this looks good on a downturn, give it a day or two to get a little bit of a confirmation that, maybe some institutions take a look at the options flow or at least volume, open interest, all that type of stuff to see if anybody else besides you are looking at catching that falling knife. Definitely one of those names that ain't going out of business anytime soon. So maybe a long call diagonal all the way out, hop in your time machine and go all the way at the Jan 21 or maybe do some... at the money synthetic stock, selling a put, buying a call, and getting long-term bullish with something like that. All right, man. Last one, a pot stock. I ain't in any of them. Don't even know the sector. Andrew, do you trade the weed, the reefer?
I have before. I have no positions on right now, but it is something I do like to trade.
What's your take? I got the old stodgy Chicago opinion on stuff like this. If they don't have options on it, it ain't a grown-up stock yet. I kind of wait until, you know, the elders up in Chicago say this thing is real before I get bullish on. Are you picking, you said you're out of them, but do you pick any, how do you pick something in a new industry like this? Is it throwing a dart or what's your take?
I actually look at the institutional order flow in the option market, and it's actually been pretty good. So they are pretty good in ACB, CGC, Crone at knowing when to get it. And they have volatility. So, you know, you don't want to trade, you know, a G because there's no volatility. You want to trade something like the marijuana stocks. And the order flow has been pretty good for the most part of the last couple months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I it's kind of like,
it do I really, get to know the ticker?
ACB.
Oh, that's the ticker. Okay.
Hold on. Yeah.
I think ACB is, they have options.
And, you know, personally, folks, you know, if it's done under $10, that is an option in and of itself. So, you know, there you go. If you're long something like this, I'd look at it more of, if you got money that you can stick in the middle of the table and light on fire, that's what I'd throw into something like this. Not too many people get that type of stuff floating around. So
it looks
be very,
like,
very careful.
It looks like it traded 18. Yeah, it looks like it traded 18 million shares today. And then it also looks like they had earnings today after the close. Stock's up about 22 cents after the close. Let me just look to see it in the May options. Yeah, I wasn't implying that big of a move. So I'd rather be long the short the same.
Okay. And, you know, remember, folks, that, you know, Jeff Sessions, the former attorney general, big anti-weed guy, Trump bounced him. Trump's obviously a little bit more friendly to the weed stocks. If you are looking to get bullish, maybe it's on the legal federal, legalization of drugs. I know it's state by state right now. I think down here in Florida, we just finally passed the medicinal stuff. So, yeah, you know, long-term bullish on the sector, but I ain't throwing darts. All right, man, since it was just you and me, let me pick your brain for a couple. How are you playing? You know, China says June 1st, you know, we're going to return fire on you. And Trump today walking out to the helicopter said, nah, I'm sitting on my hands for a little bit on the next round. Any, are you playing this? Or are you playing this at all? What's your thoughts or a good trade to leave everybody with?
I would say for like the last 6 years, I've always been long. And then you make money, and then you lose a bunch. So I think it's too hard to get short as a generalization because the market always goes higher. You have to be so perfect on your timing. So I am long. I'm long specific names. I'm long calls in June. So I don't sell puts naked. I don't sell straddles or strangles naked, but I am long some out of the money calls and Diamond Offshore, Rig, FTCH, they have earnings. LB, I bought some calls today. Triple M, I've long some calls. HIG, I'm long calls. So long calls. I'm not really playing May because May expires on Friday, but some June options.
Okay. Take a look at this. You know, look at the VIX for the, you know, we had, you know, freak out kind of beginning of April, you know, end of April. And then we had this extended period of low volatility. And then obviously last Sunday afternoon, the president, a F you and off to the races here. You know, I like to say the best time to buy volatility, you know, down here or hurricane insurance down here in South Florida is when it's sunny out and not hurricane season. You still can buy insurance if there's a tropical depression over the Bahamas here. You're just paying up for it. So for those of you who think you might have missed the volatility bus, just looking at tweet by tweet and dude walking to a helicopter and China guy, foreign minister guy at the microphone today, nobody knows what's going on. So whenever you hear me say something like nobody knows blank until maybe blank, maybe June 1st. In my opinion, vol's going to stay elevated. Take a look at the one-year chart. Look back here. You know, we had a resting heart rate on the VIX around 10 or 11. Remember that? And then October 3rd, Jerome Powell, hey man, party's over, raising rates. Everybody, you know, can kiss my ass. We saw what? 36 at the December lows with the VIX all the way up here. What am I getting at? Look at what volatility did during the, oh my God, he's talking today. Let me gear my computer up to read every word. Wait, they changed one. Look at this. That's what we're doing. Right. So vol kind of found a 1, 2, 3, a triple bottom during this storm at 16. Why am I bringing this up? Because look at what the VIX is doing right now. Unless Xi And the Journal had a great article yesterday that said, you know what? We're done at our pay grades with this. It's up to these two guys. They're going to have to get on a phone or it's now a matter of kind of trust. Like the Chinese said, we're going to do this. And instead of making it law, we're going to back it off and make them regulations. The president went bananas and here we are. So I'd be looking at, you know, buying some VIX calls or looking at a bull put spread on the dreaded VXX, maybe a weekly out the next Friday here, thinking that we're going to hover or stay a little bit elevated, at least for a week or so. It does not look like anybody's pulling back to their corners. And remember, volatility goes down on what? Certainty, right? Once something is known, it's known. Right now, based on yesterday and today's, you know, mine's bigger than yours talk back and forth, there ain't no known. What's known right now is we've increased our fire, and they're going to start shooting back more as well on June 1st. So for me, my takeaway trade today would be maybe get long vol out to next Friday. The risks to that is obviously Trump walking out to the helicopter saying, hey man, I just got off the phone with Xi, deal closed, and this thing implodes. Don't think that's going to happen. I think dudes are going to go to their corners and might be a good idea to get long vol. If I'm wrong, vol implodes by next week and we get a trade deal, that's good because obviously everybody's longs are going to be green and you'll have that one red on your screen. So that's Uncle Wiz's 3-minute take on volatility. All right, Andrew, I think we're good, man. We got through all the symbols. We missed Mr. Options Professor, but hopefully everything's okay on his end. So how do we get a hold of you, Andrew, over at the good folks at Alpha Shark?
Yeah, website's alphashark.com. Any questions about anything? We do have like a lot of products and I trade a lot of different things. You can always email me personally. I email everybody back within 24 hours. It's andrew@alphashark.com.
Awesome, my friend. Good working with you again. Real quick, a couple of you had asked about our solo Amazon service. It's really cool. Like I said, it's a little refreshing to trade in one name, to be honest with you. All you're doing is you're focusing on the news in that name. And like, you know, the risk, obviously, I know some people might be falling out of their chair. Like, oh my God, put all your eggs in one basket. Who was it? Tlaib, whatever that guy's name is. He's like, yeah, put all your eggs in one basket because that's all you care about. And that's
what's the trade you have on right now? I want to know.
We got synthetic stock on Amazon and we have a bull put spread, the 18.
What expiration?
The synthetic stock is out to June of 2021. So we went out, where's Amazon? AMZN. So we got synthetic stock on Amazon out to June 21. And then we have a bull put spread out to the end of the month down here at the, 1750, 1747 and a half or something like that. And we also, so a good proxy. So if you did one contract of synthetic stock for Amazon out to June 21, you almost have to sell your wife and kids or your significant. Yeah. It's like 20. Was it? I think the trade we did the other day eats up about 22 grand. But guess what you can do as a good substitute? We also have synthetic stock on XLY out to Jan 21 because the XLY currently is made up of what? 25% Amazon. So if you look at the Amazon or XLY versus Amazon, there's other good names in the XLY too, folks. You got Starbucks, Nike, Target. Like the top 20 holdings of the XLY are good, solid companies. The XLY is the consumer discretionary. So if you can't cobble enough cabbage together to do one synthetic stock contract in Amazon, I think we have 20 contracts in synthetic stock in the XLY. So, good trade there. That's our solo Amazon service. It's, my God, man, I'm going out on Las Olas and Fort Lauderdale in a couple hours. I'm going to drink more than $97. I used the drunken sailor term earlier in the presentation and how I resemble both. All you need to do is head to go.topgunoptions.com/solo for solo Amazon, and you can get airborne with that, just our Amazon on service. It's one hour a week. You get text alerts, live trading like they do over at Alpha Shock. This is just focused on one name, man. One name only. You can be a market maker in. So, all right, folks. I'm good. David?
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. Just a quick reminder for everyone. Be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive and show notes for this episode or any of the past episodes. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. Crowd Forecast News on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and the next episode of this show on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So I just want to thank my guests again for this week. As we mentioned, Jim Kenny was supposed to be here, but couldn't join us, so he'll be back again soon. But Andrew Keen of alphashark.com and Matt Buckley of topgunoptions.com. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, Andrew.
Thank you.